Welcome, welcome to the Doobie Doobie Doo show. It's a Thursday. It's the evening on a Thursday in the evening. Conditions are perfect. No, DJ Deck's not looking good. I may know something about this. Let me investigate and play you a song while that happens. Back in a minute. It's as I thought. So, DJ Deck wanted to play poker. I mean, he's a deck of cards, so that's totally normal. But he wanted to play poker with some unsavory types. So I said, DJ Deck, maybe not playing poker with this particular bunch. They look scary. And DJ Deck said, I want to do what I want to do. Or some kind of voice for a pack of cards. I said, no, they're unscrupulous, like criminal types. This will not end well. But DJ Deck was adamant. So at 3 a.m, he staggered back in and he did look quite scorched. There was bits of DJ Deck missing. So I'm afraid this week he is on hiatus while we work to restore him back to health and completeness as a deck of cards. So this week I'm just gonna randomly pick tracks for a change, and we'll see how that goes. Will it be different? I don't know. So that's that. Moving on to as with every week, the Wheel of Calamity. Let's see what this week's subject is for our boffins to address, solve. And if you're new to the show, I'm not going to explain the boffins and how they got here, because I've done that so many times. So look at the previous shows. Well, maybe listen to them might be a better approach. And that should give you some more information on why these poor tortured souls are enjoying our hospitality, so that they can contribute to the greater good. The greater good. That last track was Cherry by Magdalena Bay. And I think there's four notes that it ends the thing with. And the last two sound like non-notes. I'm not quite sure, because I'm a drummer and that's kind of musician stuff. But I digress. So let's see what the Wheel of Calamity's got for us this week, and we'll go from there. Okay, the subject for our boffins to solve this week is mental health, something as a race we've been struggling with for a little while now. The boffins in their near infinite wisdom are going to solve this for us, which is going to be marvelous to behold. Courtney's first up. She just needs to know what we're doing. All the boffins will be getting cards and crayons. One crayon each. We learnt that from last week. Too many crayons is bad. Also, a crayon burns for a little while. Another thing we learned, which may or may not be related to actual an escape attempt by one of our boffins. You'd think they'd be sort of at least slightly thankful, have a modicum of gratitude for us feeding and watering them, mostly watering, a little bit of feeding, and housing them for a given value of housing. But no, they're grumpy and have their own ideas. Shame on them. Boo. Right, song coming up, and then we'll have Courtney, who's going to have the first stab at solving mental health for us. Hear you. No, you hear me. Not see you. Can't see you. Back in a minute. Yeah, let's go with that.
Everyone's damaged, a little depressed. Every now and then we get that feeling in our chest. Some days I'm a loser, brush my teeth in the dark, head above water in a swimming pool of sharks. Ooh, it's hard to get up out of bed when everything is on its set and nothing seems to make any sense. Like a bandit on a bleeding heart, I fake a smile. When the world is on your shoulders and the weight of your own heart is too much to bear, well, I know that
Everything's backwards, and I'm hanging on. No matter how hard I try, I always come undone. Backed in a corner, uncomfortably numb, watching myself become a shadow of someone. Oh, it's hard to find a place to hide when you're running from what's inside. No matter where you go, there you are. So tonight I'll go to war with me, 'cause I'm my own worst enemy, and I don't wanna fight anymore. When the world is on your shoulders and the weight of your own heart is too much.
Right, that was Sigrid with Bring Me the Horizon, with the song called Bad Life. Or Not a Bad Life, which is not the title. I don't know, it's up to you. So Courtney looks very motivated, driven even. Courtney, she's our person. If she can't do it, then we'll just get another boffin. Might need to work on that. So Courtney, reading the card, yeah. Courtney suggests that we replace therapy with medieval quests. So instead of counselling, people are assigned a narrative arc. Depression? You must retrieve the orb of slightly better coping from a damp forest in Wales whilst accompanied by a sarcastic badger named Colin. Right, as a suggestion. So, let's have a think about that. That's depression. What about anxiety? Right. Anxiety sufferers. So you fear uncertainty. Therefore, you must cross the valley of administrative forms where nothing is clearly signposted. Ooh, autistic people are not like that. And every bridge asks for a password you were never given. Okay. Attachment issues. Yeah, I'm getting the hang of this. They get paired with emotionally unavailable wizards. ADHD treatment becomes the sacred trial of trying to remember why you walked into this cave. Insurance companies are going to love this because slain by goblin somehow counts as costing less than long-term psychiatric care. Yes, and yeah, with sort of D&D type quests, Act of God is going to take on a kind of new meaning. Act of Dragon, Act of like Illithid and other such things. Not that I'm a role-playing nerd or anything, nope. The problem's going to emerge, I think, when people start preferring the quests to normal life. And there's a couple of films about that, and it generally does not end well. In fact, generally ends in stabbing and things. Entire villages are going to become emotionally healthier, which is good, but catastrophically unemployed because, for example, Steve from accounting is going to refuse to return unless he's completed his arc, which is still more coherent than, like, I don't know, the culture on LinkedIn, for example. Humanity built the internet and somehow used it primarily for motivational podcasts and arguing about air fryers. Yes. Courtney, I think you're onto something, and will be a lot of dress-up involved, which kind of ties LARPing, live-action role-playing, with cosplay. So that would be quite popular as well. So, Courtney, well done. Freedom beckons. She's got that glint in her eye. Take a crane away, somebody. Over there. Stop advancing on me with the crayon. Oh, right, okay. She's been deterred. Yeah, those cattle prods are potent. Right, so Courtney is free. Whether she's happy about it or not is kind of her problem. Some thoughts. So I consider people like myself who are in some way neurodivergent, whether it's diagnosed or not, I kind of call those neurospicy. And in my opinion, somebody who is neurotypical, I tend to call them neurodifficult, because from my perspective, they are. I mean, they're consistent and balanced and all the things us neurospicy type people strive for and often don't quite achieve, or if we do, it's not for long as we flit from one extreme state to another. Or something else. Right, that's probably enough musing on that. Hooray. So, let's come up with another song. Again, DJ Deck. It's looking quite sore, but the paper mache graphs are looking like they're holding. So, I think hopefully they should be good for next week. Right, another song. Yeah, and then our next boffin.
Didn't think I'd get back up. I didn't think I'd be alright again. You know it's easy when you're young. Bounce back and whatever. It just bounced back like it never happened. And you'll probably never realize. But never even know. But when you let me talk for hours and hours like forever. After that, you'll let you hold me close. Bounce back like it never happened. Oh, and you'll probably never realize or ever even know. But when you let me talk for hours and I'll let you hold me close. I put one.
That was the marvelous Griff, actual name, Griff, our stage name, with one foot in front of the other. Our next boffin, another one with wild glint in her eyes. What are we feeding them? It's Goldie. Hello, Goldie. Let's have a look. Read. So Goldie suggests that we instigate a one really big nap initiative. So apparently, citing what do you cite? Studies? Meta-analysis? Anyway, something. Not properly referenced. Anyway, scientists conclude that all mental illness stems from humanity simply being too awake for too long. The government declares a mandatory 3-week national hibernation. Let's have a think about that. Short but sweet. Well done, Goldie. Let's work through it. So, 3-week hibernation. Shops are going to close. Parliament's going to shut down. Financial markets are going to pause. Yeah. Every citizen is going to receive an industrial weight duvet and instructions not to think too hard or too fast. 3 weeks. To begin with, that's going to be glorious. I mean, the entire population are going to emerge slightly less irritable after their 3-week nap. Neighbours are going to wave at each other with the stunned gentleness of people who have finally slept more than 4 consecutive hours since the year of 2009. Which sounds nice, but that's the point when the dreams start synchronizing. So millions of people are going to report identical visions involving, let's think, an IKEA the size of continental Europe. Hold on, that's an SCP, like the infinite IKEA. That sounds bad. If you know what an SCP is, secure, contain, protect, look it up, it's on the internet. IKEA, size of continental Europe, with a horse explaining tax fraud, all with the same vision. Well, everyone, destabilization will become. Nobody's going to be able to prove that it didn't happen on mass. So that's not going to work out so well, I'm thinking. Sleep scientists become celebrities. Yay! Mattress reviews replace political journalism. There's a 24-hour career option I thought about yonks ago. So by day, beer tester or wine tester. By night, bed tester. 24-hour salary, like the military, but with more problems around sort of bedding issues. Waitress reviews are going to replace political journalism. Conspiracy theorists are going to insist that insomnia was invented by Big Coffee, of course. Yeah, that's coming. Modern civilization, I think, already resembles a species desperately attempting to outrun biological reality through a combination of energy drinks and emotional suppression. Yeah, so a mandatory nap might genuinely improve things, I think, probably for about 12 minutes, and then we're back to humans creating problems for other humans and non-humans. Goldie, it's a good suggestion. It might be a bit unworkable. I mean, it sounds lovely, but after scrutinizing the suggestion that I don't think it's going to work out. So I don't think your freedom's going to work out either. So yeah, back to your luxury petite and bijou studio enclosure. Yeah, and we'll look after you. Yep, that's what we're going to do for a little bit longer. And who knows, you might even last to the next show or not. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you look like you've got the right kind of stuff to sort of to last for a bit longer, but who knows what's gonna happen between now and next week. It's a bit dark. All right. Right, another song. Yay, cheerful songs. Woo. Back soon. I keep saying back in a bit or back in a minute. I don't know what else to say there. The clock must be obeyed. That's not bad. Yeah, let's go for that one this time round. Yes. That was Ceilings by B beer but doobie. Hooray. Right, Nolan. Nolan's next, and Nolan's got something to say. So Nolan suggests that we have compulsory villain monologues before any emotional breakdown. So Nolan says, before panicking, spiraling, or rage crying, citizens must stand dramatically near a window and explain their emotional motivations to an invisible audience. Improv is mandatory. Yes. So he goes on, instead of saying, I'm stressed, you must now say, they laughed at my ambitions. They call me fragile. But soon they shall witness the full consequence of unanswered emails and unresolved childhood disappointment. Moo-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And the moo-ha-ha-ing is also mandatory. Okay, what does that look like down the road? Mental health services are going to report massive reductions in shame because everybody sounds incredible. Even burnout becomes theatrical. You think this is exhaustion? No, this is the collapse of a once great empire held together by caffeine and denial, for example. Moo-ha-ha-ha-ha, yes. Therapists are going to become script editors, which is good if some of them are or were script editors. That'll be easy. There may be downsides, though. Nolan, your freedom depends on how severe the downsides are. So I think some people are going to become too powerful as villains. So office resignations are going to include capes. Divorces are going to involve smoke machines, pyrotechnics. Someone in Croydon is going to start a volcano lair. I mean, if you're a proper villain, you'd need lava. A moderately disappointing parent-teacher conference. Most people already narrate their suffering internally, like it's some kind of indie film. So this is just going to formalize it. Humans adore suffering if we can make it aesthetically compelling. So entire music genres exist because someone got dumped near a synthesizer. All right, Nolan, yeah, you squeezed it out. Is that that's a bad way of putting it. You got through by the skin of your teeth, and I don't think teeth have skin. So that's, very narrow. Regardless, go. Never darken our door again. Sorry, that's a bit dismissive. Well done. Woo! You're the winner. God thinks you're a wiener or something. Right, next song.
Kiss me like we died tonight.
Okay, so Nolan made a very naughty hand gesture as he was leaving. Shame on him. I think in future we need to get happier boffins. Yeah, bad show, Nolan. That song was One Day Like This by Elbow. It was meant to start with about 23 seconds of road noise, but I, in my very finite wisdom, have decided to spare you from that. So that's, yeah, think of it as all killer and no filler. Yeah, that's what I'm all about. Also, I have very fond recollections of this song. I managed to perform it in front of a crowd of maybe 20,000 people at a Christmas lights switch on several bands ago. And yeah, it's a cracking song. Right, recollections aside, Andre. Andre's up next. He's filled out his card. Let's have a little look at it. Andre thinks that the solution to mental health is going to be rolling out emotional support tax auditors. He thinks that this is probably workable. He believes in it. So every person is going to get assigned a government official who audits their emotional nonsense in real time. So he gives an example. You claim that nobody loves you. Let's review the evidence. So the emotional support tax auditor is going to arrive with a clipboard during an actual breakdown. Some good examples here, Andre. So you stated that your life is a disaster. However, records indicate that you recently ate a hot meal and one friend sent you a meme featuring a raccoon holding a burrito. Care to revise your statement? So, I think I like that. Let's see how that goes. So, I think any kind of catastrophic thinking is going to get fined. And if you want to be passive aggressive, then you're going to require a license for that. People are going to try and text their exes after midnight. Now, in this new society, anyone trying that must first complete a 14-page risk assessment and solve a catchba on a piece of paper. I love that. Have you seen forms where they've printed it off the internet and you have to prove on a paper form that you're not a robot? Anyway, solve the catchba whilst the civil servant watches silently from the corner, making notes and glaring at you pointedly. The nation is going to revolt, obviously. They're going to hate that. Being forced to do something they don't want, that's never a good look. But then, I think, horrifyingly, some people are going to improve because a man named Keith from a Department of Emotional Overreaction keeps appearing to say things like, "You're interpreting a mildly delayed reply as a social exile again, aren't you?" And they'll tap their clipboard with their pen and encourage you to think again. So Keith is going to become beloved by the nation, like Eddie the Eagle. Keith, the exemplar of sort of emotional support tax auditing. Keith, amazing. And we're going to raise statues to the amazing Keith. There may be applause outside people's houses, which was better than a pay rise for the nurses. I mean, let's keep the paying conditions, but a little bit of applause at a set time, that meant more than money or having a holiday or anything like that. So yeah, Keith, we're going to celebrate you. And that's, let's see, the true horror underneath all this is that humanity, especially British humans, would absolutely hand their emotional regulation over to a bureaucrat. If it came with an app and some decent branding, so we just natively trust subscription services more than our own nervous systems. I mean, honestly, a raccoon with a lanyard could probably run civilization by Thursday if it could just be motivated enough to do it. Andre, easy win. You're out of here. Go. Be free. Fly. Fly, Andre. Fly. Oh, not like that. Ow. Right. Andre, back up. Sorry about the scraped knees. Go. Get out of here. Well done. You're a good man, we think. Hopefully. There's no evidence to the contrary. Right. Another song. Yes. Let's do that.
Coffee in my cup, start a new day. Wish we could do this forever and never remember mistakes that we made. I told you I loved you when we were just friends. You kept me waiting and I hated you then. Gave it a few years, you said.
That was Maggie Rogers with That's Where I Am. And this week's final contestant is Joella, who is a little bit bitey, but I'm not going to hold that against her because she's had a tough week. So let's read Joella's submission, her bid for freedom, if you will. Nationally mandated crying hours between 2 a.m. No, 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Gosh, that's going to disrupt some work cycles. Every citizen is going to be required by law to stop whatever they're doing and have a scheduled emotional collapse. Offices dim the lights. Tesco plays ambient whale noises. Builders sit silently on upturned buckets, staring into the middle distance, while a civil servant walks around handing out digestive biscuits and saying things like, "That sounds difficult, Martin." Right, how's that going to look? Hold on. Schools could teach advanced sulking and applied sighing as part of the core curriculum. The stock market is going to pause between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. because apparently Nigel and accounts needs 20 uninterrupted minutes to process a breakup from 2017. He insists he's completely over. Entire motorway services are going to become state-funded sobbing zones, I think. Down the line a bit. The government are going to release an app which is going to track emotional compliance through microphone analysis. That's not going to have any kickback publicly. They're recording our emotions now. How much more surveillance do they need to keep us safe? If your crying sounds performative, then you get referred to a panel. A bit like Britain's Got Talent. Judges will decide on how authentic your emotional outbursts are. Britain's going to immediately develop an underground black market for imported onion vapor cartridges. Let's vape. Let's huff onion vapor. great. Humanity, when faced with infinite technological potential, we're going to invent fake tears to avoid paperwork, which is valid. So, last thought on this. Mental health statistics are going to improve initially because everyone finally feels seen and especially heard. But then, of course, productivity is going to collapse because half the country is going to discover that they actually enjoy scheduled despair instead of unplanned despair pouncing on you at any moment. Scheduled despair. Yeah, like planned maintenance for IT infrastructure and boring things like that. Final thought, Greg's is going to introduce a seasonal existential steak bake to accompany the, what is it, something latte? Pumpkin spice, like, pointless celebration of beverage. Ugh. Joella, I think you're okay. You can go and take your bitey mouth with you. It's no excuse. Don't care how unhappy you've been, like assaulting one of our staff, namely me, is bad. Boo, shame on you. But you can still go, mainly because I'm running out of bandages. Another song, and then we are into the home straight, our eagerly anticipated AI poetry section, which I'm hoping you all love. If you are making comments to the contrary, I'm not aware of them. right, back soon. Right. That was Enya with Aniron, I think, where she's... I think she's singing about elves. But I think so. Right. I'm going to use this xylophone, which I think was a Christmas present. It's hard to keep track. To announce the AI poetry section. Eagerly awaited, surely. Hold on. Yeah. Need some work, maybe, but... It is what it is. You get what you pay for, etc. Right, AI poetry. Let's start off with the Ministry of Emotional Maintenance. So, they built a grey department underground beneath a carpet warehouse in Swindon, where civil servants monitored despair through graphs and kettle usage. Each citizen received a monthly emotional MOT. Headlights functioning? Question mark. Reasonably. Breaks? Intermittent. Sense of purpose? Skip to the next question. A woman from accounts stamped forms marked mildly haunted. Some arrived carrying panic in plastic supermarket bags. Others dragged old grief behind them like shopping trolleys with broken wheels. The waiting room smelled faintly of wet coats and surrender, rather than cabbage. Faintly smelling of cabbage, which is from Rockstar Ate My Hamster. A brief aside, not part of the poem. Yeah, on Tuesdays, a man named Keith, all hail Keith with the statues, adjusted the nation's serotonin manually with a large brass lever labelled Hope, lower gently. Okay. Outside, commuters crossed streets under skies the colour of unfinished emails, while somewhere deep below the earth, an exhausted administrator whispered, "We're trying our best." "We're trying our best." There you go. And somehow that made things worse, because everyone knew that he actually meant it. Prescription pigeon. The pigeon arrived at dawn wearing a tiny fluorescent vest and the expression of someone reviewing disappointing paperwork. It followed me for months, through supermarkets, doctor's offices, one humiliating attempt at yoga. Whenever I spiraled into catastrophic thought, it pecked lightly at my shoe, as if to say, "Here we go again, genius." At night, it perched beside my bed, watching me invent futures where everyone secretly hated me. Its silence was unbearable. One evening, exhausted, I asked it plainly, "What exactly are you here to do?" The pigeon blinked once, slowly, then defecated on my parking ticket. And for the first time in weeks, I laughed hard enough to forget myself. The bird nodded slightly, like a therapist who had finally broken through. Next poem. Mandatory crying hour. At precisely 2 o'clock, the sirens sounded. A bit like Silent Hill. Spooky. Traffic halted, forklifts stopped mid-turn, dentists removed their gloves with solemn dignity. Across the nation, millions sat quietly in designated reflection zones. Some cried beautifully, theatrically, hand against window pane, rain cooperating on cue. Others stared at vending machines, feeling nothing at all. A builder in Leeds wept softly into a sausage roll, while a government mindfulness drone hovered nearby, dispensing affirmations in the voice of a regional radio presenter. Children learned emotional regulation through competitive sobbing exercises. The elderly cheated shamelessly by discussing the past. Boo! By week three, the economy had collapsed completely, but neighbours finally knew each other's names. People began waving. The nation became gentler, slower, strangely human. Then someone monetized it. Premium crying pods appeared in London, with mood lighting and artisan blankets. And thus, the species returned naturally to its preferred emotional state, mildly miserable, for profit. The last therapist on Earth. By the end, there was only one therapist left. The others had burned out, listening to 8 billion people explained how they felt disconnected, while staring directly into glowing rectangles for 14 hours a day. The final therapist lived alone outside an abandoned, massive IKEA. Patients wandered through endless showrooms, past little stage lives. Functional marriage, creative fulfillment, affordable rent. Most broke down around lighting solutions. The therapist sat calmly in aisle 478 beside discounted shelving units. "Tell me how you feel," he asked humanity, and humanity answered, "Tired." Not traumatic tired, not dramatic tired, not poetic tired, bone tired, civilization tired. Tired of passwords, tired of performance, tired of pretending productivity meant. Tired of pretending productivity was meaning. I was doing so well. The therapist listened quietly, whilst distant speakers continued playing soft instrumental jazz for nobody. At closing time, they switched off the final light and said, "You were never designed to live like this," into the darkness. For one brief, impossible second, the whole world actually agreed. And that's all your AI poetry. I'll play us out with one last song, and then you, like most of our boffins, can also be free. Hooray! Next week, it'll be something else, of course. Bye for now.
Please.